Well, happy Mother's Day to all you moms, and welcome to my kitchen table. It's kind of cool. We get to have service in your living room from my kitchen, and lots of cool things happen at a kitchen table. Good conversations, stories, lots of remember when type conversations like we talked about last week. So coming out of that same vein, do you ever think back on a certain season or time or people and wonder, you know, what if that hadn't happened? Like, how would things be different if that hadn't happened? Like, what if the ball wasn't snapped over the top of Peyton's head on the first play from scrimmage during Super Bowl 48? I mean, starting off the Super Bowl with a safety, that's not a great start. And I'm guessing that's probably still a sore spot for Broncos fans. But hey, at least look at this. At least you got to win Super Bowl 50. The last time my Colts were in the Super Bowl, we fell for an onside kick to start off the second half, like, and lost the game. That's still a sore subject for me, but I'm not bitter. Well, forget Super Bowls. Not as if they're not important, because we all know that Super Bowls are. But let's talk about some stuff that really matters. Hypothetically, what if Abraham Lincoln was never elected president? Like, the Civil War could have turned out a whole lot differently if that didn't take place, and what kind of ripples would have gone throughout history because of that? Or what if the Nazis would have won World War II? Like, what would the world be like today if that would have happened? Or think about something more personal. Like, what if you never met your spouse? What would life be like if that never happened? And if you're in the same room with your spouse right now, this would be a great time to yell out, life would be horrible if I never met you. I just want to set you up. Easy points. What if you never met your best friend? Like, what would your life be like that? You know, over the past month, we've been talking about this question of what if. This question just keeps coming into our minds a lot lately with different things going on. And usually we're talking about future tense. You know, what if this happens, or what if that happens? And whenever we ask what if, when we're thinking about the future, we're usually coming from a place of fear or worry. But asking what if in regards to the past, well, that actually can be a good thing. That can bring about some good reflection. And if you're willing to be honest with yourself, it can also bring some good introspection, which leads to growth. Psalm 124 is a song about what if in regards to the past. Listen to the words of this song. It says this: what if the Lord had not been on our side? Let all of Israel repeat. What if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us? They would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger. The waters would have engulfed us. A torrent would have overwhelmed our very lives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord who did not let their teeth tear us apart. We escaped like a bird from the hunter's trap. The trap is broken and we are free. Our Lord, our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. All right, so let's back up for a second. Like, what's this all about? I mean, people attacking us, being engulfed in water, swallowed alive, a hunter's trap, teeth tearing us apart. I mean, that sounds like a song from a show on the Discovery Channel about apex predators. I mean, what is this talking about? This song's actually talking about why those awful things didn't happen. Here's the context. This song is written by King David. David was the greatest king in the history of Israel. Jesus came from David's line. And if you're not familiar with him, this is the same David that killed Goliath. So David writes this song, and David finally becomes king of all of Israel. And this was a very long time in the making. We're talking years. God had promised David that he was going to be king. God made some really big promises to David, but there was a very big gap of time between when God promised these things to David and when David actually saw them fulfilled. Well, finally, David is king. And as soon as it happens, the Philistines hear about it and they're having none of it. The Philistines were Israel's biggest enemy at the time. And this whole David is now king thing, no, this isn't gonna happen. Not if we can do anything about it. So as soon as they hear about it, the Philistines mobilize all of their army. Not just some of their army, they literally mobilize every man, every unit, every army that they've got with one particular objective: to capture and kill David. That's it. I mean, how would you like to be David in a situation like that? Basically, that would be like China mobilizing their entire military to come after, capture, and kill you. Not a great feeling. So understandably so, David takes off. He runs and he goes to his stronghold, which was like a fort in the mountains. It was a fort that he had gone to in the past, and a place that he built up for his own personal defense. He'd used it before, like when he had to protect himself from King Saul, who was another person that was trying to kill him. For some reason, David just had a talent for ending up on people's hit lists. So David goes to this defensive position and he starts praying. He says, God, what do I do? Like, do I go out and fight these people? What's gonna happen? What do I do? What do you want me to do? And God said, yeah, I want you to go out. I want you to go out and fight them because I'm gonna give you victory over them. And that's exactly what God did. David goes on the offensive. He goes out and fights the Philistines and he beats them. Something he never thought was gonna happen until he prayed. So he's stoked, he's fired up, he's celebrating, he goes nuts. He's like, we beat the Philistines, this is amazing, we beat him, and it's all because of God's help. We gotta give glory to God, thank you to God, praise be to God. We beat the Philistines because our Lord is our help. But the Philistines aren't done yet. They're not done, they're not throwing in the towel. They're coming after David again. So he goes and prays again, and he says, God, what do I do this time? Do you want me to go out and fight him again? What do you want me to do? And God says, yes, I want you to go fight him again because I'm gonna give you victory again. But I want you to do something different this time. This time I want you to change up your battle tactics. Instead of fighting them head on, this time I want you to sneak around and flank them from the woods. And the only reason God is changing the battle plan and tweaking these little details, he's just seeing if David's willing to obey him and trust him. And David does exactly that. He does exactly what God says. God gives him the help and he beats the Philistines again. Psalm 124 is a song about beating the Philistines in those two battles. David says at the beginning of the song, he says, like, what would have happened if God didn't give us this help? Like, what would have happened? Can we imagine that? I mean, where would I be if God didn't give me help? And that's a great reflection question. To look back on past areas of your life and see where God helped you, to see where God intervened. And maybe you might even be thinking right now, well, I don't know anywhere in my past where God has helped me. I don't know any situation where God intervened. I can tell you a lot of different places where I think God could have helped me, but I don't think he did. That's fair too. So let me just challenge you to do this. Ask him, just ask him. Ask him, God, where have you helped me in the past? Where have you intervened in my life? Show me that. He's gonna show you that. And joy is gonna come out of that. We talked about that last week. But it's also, I think it's also important for us to take a story like this and put it into future tense. Like put this story in today for you, put this story in tomorrow for you, and how would you react? How would you respond to this story? I'm not talking about you facing the Philistine army. That's just a detail of the story. We can interchange any of the details in the story for yours or in David. The details aren't important. What's important are the principles and the patterns in this story. Like David followed a pattern in the story. He did certain things when he started to face some trouble. And the same thing is true for you and I. Like when you're facing trouble, what do? What pattern do you follow? Here's what I mean. When you get word that something's about to go down, like when you get that phone call that says your job's in jeopardy, or when you feel like you're overwhelmed, or you're watching the news again and it's nothing but doom and gloom and you're not sure what's true and what's false anymore, when you get bad news from the doctor, when you hear bad things might be coming your way, what do? Well, David ran to his stronghold. He took off. He went to a place that he had gone to before, a place that had given him safety in the past, a place where he could play defense. That's what David did. He ran to a stronghold. Is that what you do? A stronghold is anything that you've run to in the past to give you comfort or relief or safety, a place that you go or a person you go to or a thing you go to give you help whenever you're facing trouble. A stronghold could be a good thing or it could be a bad thing. A stronghold could be you running to a friend or maybe you run to a substance. It could be a healthy habit, or it could be you running to a certain website. It could be you relying on your own experience and strength and skills, or maybe you run to a particular person who's bailed you out before. It could be a hobby, or you could run to a destructive vice. A stronghold is anything you run to for help when you're facing trouble, and no matter whoever or whatever that is, the reason you run to it is because you've run to it in the past. But here's the thing about strongholds. They don't really give you help. They don't. They don't take care of the problem at all. At best, they just delay it for a little while. They let you play defense. But defense never conquered an army. Defense, all it does is minimize pain and loss to the best of our abilities. Speaking of football, whenever a team's winning in the fourth quarter and they start to play a prevent defense, the old running joke is they're not playing defense, they're just preventing themselves from winning. It's true, whenever you play that kind of defense, you end up losing. At worst, what a stronghold does is it lets you bury your head in the sand for a little while and just ignore the trouble that's coming your way. It lets you ignore problems that you're dealing with. It lets you ignore tough times, and that's never a good tactic. The strongholds that are in your life, whatever they are, they don't give you help. They just give you a mirage that looks like help. And this is so relevant for every single one of us because right now, all of us feel like we're facing some kind of trouble. I mean, the potential is worse for some of us than it is others, but every single one of us, we feel like we're just in a season of struggle or trouble right now. And that's gonna be true tomorrow and in the future. Every single one of us will face tough times again. That's a fact. So what better time than right now to just get real? Like, let's just get real with each other and look at what we're really relying on for help. Our help, yours and mine. Our help is not in our strength, our skills, or our experiences. Our help is not in a substance or a website that we can use to just numb out for a little while. Our help is not in a political leader. It's not in a hobby. It's not in a stimulus plan. And our help is not in religion either. It's been said before that religion is the opium of the masses. And that's true. It is. Now hear me on this. It's very easy to use religion as a crutch. But just like a real crutch, it's still up to your own effort. It's still up to you walking with it. It's still up to you using your arm strength to make that crutch work. I had to have surgery on my ankle after a basketball injury, and it put me on crutches for 12 weeks. Let me tell you, I did all the work. The crutches did not do the work. And after 12 weeks on crutches, I had huge triceps, great tricep workout. It's very easy to look at religion and use religion as a crutch to make you feel better, because that's what religion does. It bases everything on your own effort. Religion is about you making yourself right. It's about you checking off the boxes. It's about you cleaning yourself up. And if you really want to break down religion, at the core, religion is about you saving yourself. But that's what Jesus came for. You can't save yourself. I can't save myself. And just as a friend, a brother in Christ, and as your pastor, I've tried to save myself before. It doesn't work. Jesus came to save you. You're not your own help. So take that pressure off of yourself. He came to fulfill all the religious requirements that there were so that you and I wouldn't have to, because you and I, we can't. Jesus came to replace religion. Religion, this idea of earning grace, earning love, earning acceptance, earning salvation. Jesus came to replace religion with relationship, a relationship with Him. Christianity is not a religion. It's not. Don't say that it is. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus. And in that, Jesus, the God that created heaven and earth, just like Psalm 124 says, that God, Jesus, offers you His help. And that help comes at all times, especially times like right now, when we're tempted to run to our own personal strongholds, or we're tempted to use ourselves as our own help, or we're tempted to use a crutch. Let me just say this, hear me on this. Don't use a crutch. Let Jesus carry you. He's the help. So David runs to his stronghold. But then he does a 180 and he goes out into battle. So where'd that 180 come from? Prayer. I know that sounds simplistic and very churchy, but David goes to his stronghold, then realizes, no, that's not what we do when we run into trouble. And then he goes to the God who created heaven and earth to get help and guidance from Him. He prays. And then he has the courage to follow God and do what God says. And then he gets this help that he needed that was beyond anything that he could imagine. He beats the Philistines, not once, but twice. And then he starts praising God. He writes Psalm 124 as a song about what if God wouldn't have done this, but guess what? He did. He did help in this way. It's a song of praise. So listen to these words again. And now this time, put your story into this song. Put your story right now into this song. What if the Lord had not been on our side? Let all of Israel repeat, what if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us? They would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger. The waters would have engulfed us. A torrent would have overwhelmed our very lives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord who did not let their teeth tear us apart. We escaped like a bird from the hunter's trap. The trap is broken and we are free. Hear that, you are free. Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So a question that gets asked a lot, and I'm assuming you've asked this question before, because I've asked this question before. The question is, why did this have to happen? Why did God allow that to happen? Why did God let this happen? Why is there suffering in the world? Why did bad things happen to good people? Why did this have to happen? The question sounds something like that. But Psalm 124, it shifts the question. Forget asking why this happened anymore. Now the question is how? How are there people in the world that can sing this confidently about God's help? Like, how does David sound so confident about God's help? David, a guy that lots of people try to kill David. You got the Philistines, you got Saul, you got all these other armies. David's own son turned on him, tried to kill him, tried to take his crown. David was betrayed. David was on the run a lot. David was ambushed. The guy had spears thrown at his head. How is a guy like that singing confidently about God's help? Because it didn't seem like there was a lot of help. I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic right now. How do people sing confidently about God's help? The guy that just lost his job, how does he sing about God's help? The single mom who's working a job and trying to homeschool her two kids at the same time, how does she sing about God's help? How are there so many people in the world that can confidently sing about help from God, maybe louder now than ever? How does that even take place? It's not because they're immune to the stuff that we see going on. People, there's nobody that's immune to trouble or suffering or struggles or hardship. Nobody's immune to those things. The reason why there are people in the world that can confidently sing about God's help, especially in times of trouble, especially in times like right now, the reason why is because they've experienced God's help before. They've gone through tough stuff. They've gone through storms. They've gone through struggles. They've gone through hardships. They've gone through pain. They've gone through all that stuff with God's help, and they've come out on the other side, maybe even stronger. God makes this promise in Isaiah 43. It's one of my favorite chapters. I quote it a lot. But he says, when you have my help, when you go through the waters, you won't be overwhelmed. You're not going to drown. When you pass through the fires, you're not going to get burned. That's exactly what David just said right there. Psalm 124 is proof that God makes good on his promises. That's why Psalm 124 is so confident. That's why people can sing about God's help confidently, because they've seen him make good on his promises. That's why we as a church, why LifeBridge, why we sing confidently about God's help, because God has helped in the past. We know God is going to help today, and we know God is going to help tomorrow. God's help is greater than whatever your circumstances are. That's why you can be confident right now. So here's what you can do. Here's what you can do. You can follow David's lead. You can follow the pattern that he laid out. And just get out of your old strongholds. Get away from them. Whatever those are, and you know what those are, get away from those strongholds. Ask for help. That's what your prayer looks like. Just ask for God's help and be specific. And then have the courage to follow him and watch him flex. I mean, that's what David did. Right now is the time for you to take that next step with Jesus, whatever that next step might be. I mean, it would be really easy right now to just go into self-preservation mode and huddle up and circle the wagons. But now is a better time than ever to take a step with Jesus. Because here's what happens. Faith tends to get started and developed. It tends to grow in times of trouble, not easy times. We would think it's the opposite. But times like right now is when faith can start and when faith can grow. I said this a couple weeks ago, that mountaintops are inspiring. They're awesome. We love mountaintops, but nothing grows up there. Everything grows in the valleys. We're in valleys right now. Now's the time to take that next step with Jesus. And maybe the next step with you is to take the very first step. Maybe it's time to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Like, maybe that step is for you to say today, you know what? I'm in. I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus. I want his help. I want to follow him. I may not have all my questions answered, but that's okay. I'm in. Take that next step today. You can text the word new to the number at the bottom of the screen. We've been putting this up every single week. Take that step, text in new, and one of our pastors will reach out to you. We'll take that next step with you. Or maybe it's a step of growth. Maybe it's a step of serving. Some of the stuff that we talked about last week. Now is the time not to play defense, but it's the time to play offense. David going to a stronghold, that was a defensive move. But God says, no, David, I want you to go play offense. We're not going to circle the wagons as a church either right now. I've been telling our staff that over and over again, that now is the time not to play defense. Now is the time to play offense. We're gonna go into our communities. We're gonna be the light that Jesus asked us to be. We're gonna be a city on a hill, salt of the earth, because that's what Christians are supposed to do, especially when things are rough, especially when things look dark. This is when the light can shine all the brighter. This is why the church is here. It's our time to be the church, not go into self-preservation mode, not to step back and play defense and worry about what's next. No, we've gotten help before, but we can be confident that we're gonna get help again today and help tomorrow. God's got all of this. He's ahead of all of this. We have nothing to fear. We have nothing to worry. That's as us as a church, and that's you as an individual. If you're following Jesus, you've got help. You just have to ask for it. If today is the day where, man, I want to take that step with Jesus for the first time, the help is there for you too. Now, I don't want to make light of any of this, what's gone on in the last 2 months. I'm not gonna downplay any of it, because people have lost their lives in this pandemic. And that's serious. We don't mess with that. That's heartbreaking. And I know people who have died from coronavirus. It's awful. And people have lost their jobs. Depression and anxiety has intensified. We're not gonna downplay any of that. But as your pastor, can I say something to you? Sometimes when the rough things happen, that gives birth to great moments. Jesus's worst moment of his life was also his greatest. The cross was awful, but it was also the greatest thing that's ever happened on our planet. Because our help is in the Lord, there's an opportunity for greatness in the middle of a time that looks like nothing but tragedy. So right now, greatness looks like washing your hands and then washing some feet. That's what greatness looks like right now. It's being a blessing to other people. It's serving. It's being generous. And as a church, I couldn't be more humbled and more proud to be a part of LifeBridge for what we've been able to do in our communities over the past couple weeks, stuff that many of you have been a part of. LifeBridge's reputation and history has been one that when things get bad, we run into the middle of the fire. We don't run away. And that's exactly what our church has done. There's been so many things that have happened. There have been 20 different projects that have been completed in our communities over the last couple weeks when this pandemic started. And there's more in the pipeline coming. So if you wanna get involved in any of that, keep checking our website and checking our social media for new opportunities. I wish I had more time to tell you all the things that have happened and all the things that are coming, but it's been awesome because our help is in the Lord. That's the only reason why. So let me ask a question. Again, I'm not going to downplay anything that's happened in this pandemic, but I want to ask the same question that David asked to start off Psalm 124. What if COVID-19 never happened? Yeah, there wouldn't be the deaths and the problems that have come. There wouldn't be us losing our mind in quarantine, all that stuff, the hassle, of course, that stuff wouldn't have happened. But if COVID-19 didn't happen, would we have had the chance to lean on God and ask for his help like we have? Would we have had the opportunity to grow in our own individual faiths? Because, man, the way that God set this up, James talks about this, that our faith grows the most when trials hit. Hudson Taylor, who was probably the most famous missionary our world has known, he was a missionary to China about 200 years ago. He said that, "I knew he," meaning God, "I knew he tries me only to increase my faith." That's what's happening right now. This is an opportunity for our faith to grow. This is an opportunity for us to step into the community and be a blessing, be generous, be serving. And if this never happened, would we have gotten this chance? Would we have gotten this chance to grow as individuals? Would we have gotten this chance to bless? Would we have gotten this chance to be generous? Would we have gotten this chance to watch God work in the middle of a time where it just looks awful? Wherever you're at today, whatever's going on with your life personally, take that next step. One more thing that comes out of this, because I know that my help is in the Lord, I know that by remembering how he's helped me in the past and how he will help me today, I know this is an opportunity for greatness. I get to wash people's feet like Jesus. The other thing that comes out of this is, man, this could be a convicting time or it could be a time of confidence. This could be a time where it reveals to you that, man, my help really is in Jesus, and that just boosts your confidence even more. Or this time that we're in right now can reveal that, man, my help is in someone or something other than Jesus, and that's convicting. Conviction is not a bad thing. It's not. Guilt is not something that comes from Jesus. Conviction's an act of grace. It gets us to open our eyes. If you're convicted right now that, hey, my help is not in Jesus, all you have to do is ask. If you're convicted right now that I've been following someone or something other than Jesus and I want to follow him and put my faith in him and accept Christ, then that's a great thing. You can do that right now. There's no better time than right now to ask for help. There's no better time than right now to ask Christ and accept him. So I'm going to ask one more time right now. Where does your help really come from? I'm going to give you a few minutes just to reflect on that like we've done each service. Take some time. Be honest with yourself. There's no point in lying to yourself. You know, what's my help really in? If it's in Jesus, you have every ounce of confidence you could ever imagine. And if it's in something else and you feel convicted by that, take that step of asking for help. Whatever you need, be specific. Take that next step of accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Guys, have a fantastic week, and we'll see you next weekend.